I desire your prayers today as we look in the scriptures for a little while. I looked for another word that would be easier to write and spell and say than this word. But it really says what the definition of it really says what the burden of my little thought is this morning. Magnanimity of God and Christ, or Christ and God. First, I'd give the definition for this word, magnanimity. And I hope that we can carry the definition of this word throughout this little teaching this morning. Magnanimity is greatness of mind. That elevation or dignity of soul which encounters danger and trouble with tranquility and firmness, which raises the possessor above revenge and makes him delight in acts of benevolence and prompts him to sacrifice personal ease, interest, and safety for the accomplishment of useful and noble objects. Now, I know that was a long definition, but to me, it encapsulates Christ and God and the purpose of the divine mind and the mission of Christ. When it says raises the possessor above revenge, I couldn't help but think that when Jesus was taken in the garden and Peter drew his sword and took off Malchus' ear, Jesus did not exact revenge. He could have. He could have very easily struck Judas and those down that came after him, but he didn't do it. When he was being so abused in his trial, and as he was on the cross, spit upon, slapped, scourged, he could have exacted revenge, but magnanimity raised him above revenge, made him delight in acts of benevolence, and prompted him to sacrifice personal ease. The foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has no place where to lay his head. Those are his words. So he sacrificed personal ease, personal interest, and personal safety for the accomplishment of useful and noble objects. Those useful and noble objects are the things that He presented to you and me for our benefit. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. The chastisement that it took for you and me to have peace, Jesus bore. So this word, magnanimity, while it's a big word and it's not easy to say and not easy to write, it means a lot. And there is in it the essence of who God and Christ are for you and me. So I desire your prayers today. Everything that you know, that we know about God, comes through revelation. God Himself being willing to reveal that part of Himself that He wants us to understand. The ability in your mind to comprehend those things of God. He shares those parts of Himself with you and me so we can have a greater understanding of who He is and what His will is for us. In the book of John, the first chapter, we'll read first 9 verses here. This is a very familiar passage and we've read this before. Before we read here in John, Gospel of John chapter 1, I'd like to give you a quote from Richard Trench. Richard Trench has said, No one but God can satisfy the longings of an immortal soul. But as the heart was made for Him, so He only can fill it. No one but God can satisfy the needs, the longings of an immortal soul. That as the heart was made for Him, He only can fill it. People will try to fill their lives, their hearts with other things, but it leaves still a void, an emptiness. There are recesses, there are corners and crevices that are not filled, and they become in the heart of a man realizing, a man realizes that there are those places that are void. And the heart really needs to be filled with the things of God. When it is not filled with God, only God can satisfy those needs. When there are those voids, those vacancies, those empty places, they need to be filled by something. The things of this world will never completely fill the heart. Those corners, cracks, crevices that are open desire to be filled by God. And I believe that there is that part in the heart of man that yearns and cries out for the fulfillment, for the satisfaction, the longing to be completely at peace, and never will be at peace until, unless God is allowed to fill the heart. So, we begin with the Gospel of John, the first chapter, first verse. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The word here, translated Word, with a capital W, is Greek logos. It is something said, reasoning, or computation. It is all that is or can be accomplished by the introduction of language and communication. For God to be able to communicate to you and me, there had to be a means of Him sharing with us, the Logos. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. God had the ability to put inside of you and me not only life, but light. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 13b, it says, whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Whatsoever is we're made aware of, whatsoever doth make out in the open, it is light. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. God put in a man the ability to recognize his need, and He put in man the understanding, the comprehension to know that there was something greater than himself that he needed in life. God put that there. God put that there because He knew that you and I, in the process of time, would find ourselves groping through life, groping in darkness to try to find things that would satisfy the need of the soul. And that we would find ourselves unsatisfied, unfulfilled, because there were crevices and recesses left in the heart that could not be filled by anything but God. And God designed and desired. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Whatsoever doth make manifest, whatsoever it is that makes us aware of and understand those things, those needs, it is light. Light that God gave to you and me. All right? And the light, verse 5, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light did shine, but there were those who would not seize upon it. There were those who would not grasp it. There were those who would not accept it. The darkness would not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And if you notice, there in verse 7, light changes from just a regular lowercase L to an uppercase, a capital L. All right? He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I'll tell you, folks, if you would take the time to really read these first 9 verses in the Gospel of John, it is profound what this man was able to put down in words. The true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. What an absolute blessing it is to have in our hearts, in our minds, that thing of God that lets us be able to comprehend and recognize and see and know and feel a need and seek to have it filled. What a blessing that is. Now, this true light that lights every man that cometh into the world, every man, God created man with the abilities. God created man with something in him, that light that illuminates in him, something to cause him to be able to see his needs. God did that. And how grateful we are for it. What a blessing it is to have that. And I want to read something to you that I found in a book F.G. Smith wrote. It's The Evolution of Christianity. Quite a long paragraph. But I'd like for you to consider, as I read this, consider that this is a story, a little paragraph about a man who is asking questions, who is seeking, searching, longing to have answers in his life. The heart-touching story related by Casalis, the African traveler, illustrates beautifully this universal longing of humanity for God. Abrusay, the missionary, had been explaining the gospel message to one of the kafirs. The kafir replied, "Your tidings are what I want, and I was seeking before I knew you, as you shall hear and judge for yourselves. 12 years ago, I went to feed my flocks. The weather was hazy. I sat down upon a rock and asked myself sorrowful questions. Yes, sorrowful, because I was unable to answer them. Who has touched the stars with his hands? On what pillars do they rest? I asked myself. The waters are never weary. They know no other law but to flow without ceasing from morning till night and from night till morning. Where do they stop? And who makes them flow thus? The clouds also come and go and burst in water over the earth. Whence come they? The diviners certainly do not give us rain, for how could they do it? And why do I not see them with mine eyes when they go up to heaven to fetch it? I cannot see the wind, but what is it? Who brings it, makes it blow and roar and terrify us? Do I know how the corn sprouts? Yesterday, there was not a blade in my field. Today I returned to the field and found some. Who can have given to the earth the wisdom and the power to produce it? Then I buried my face in both my hands." You see the intensity of an honest heart and desire to understand and know things about those which he cannot explain and cannot get answers for. This missionary had gone to speak to these people, Abrusay, and the Lord had been speaking to him and causing him to have questions in his mind. And he sat down one day and pondered all these things and said, "How do I get answers for all of this? It's so much bigger than me. I planted corn yesterday. I was here. There wasn't a blade in the field. I come back today and I see blades of corn. How does it happen? Where does it come from?" These are questions, folks. These are things that I could say this principle is in the heart of every human being. that you and I would say, I dare say in this audience this morning, that at some place, at some point in your life, you have come to a place where you have been like this man. You sat down or wherever, and you were quiet and you asked yourself these questions. How can I express and explain the needs that I have in my soul, and how can I have these needs answered? How can I find, when I have these distresses in my own being, how can I get these things answered? What is the purpose? What can I do about this to get these things fixed? That reason we have that feeling, the reason we have those emotions, is because God has implanted light in the heart and mind of an individual to cause him to seek after things, because it just may be that we'll find God. Now I want to turn to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 2. Start with verse 12 down through 16. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Now, the Gentiles, which did not have the law presented to them, when they do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law to themselves, which show the work of the law written where? Not on the tables of stone, but on their hearts. Because, why? Because there is something that they have learned that is missing from their lives, and they have had a desire. Those folks, I'll tell you, if we have an honest and sincere heart before God, God is able to meet your need. These Gentiles who didn't have the law, who didn't have Moses, who didn't have copies of the law, the Jews and the Gentiles, two classes of people as far as they were concerned, the Jews, the children of God, and the Gentiles, everybody else, every other heathen in the world, whose category, which category you and I would fall into, most likely, I don't know anyone in here today that has Jewish heritage, but we would fall under the category of Gentiles. But when the Gentiles, which had not the law, did by nature the law of things in the law, and they had the law written in their hearts, because God was able to convince them and convey to them those principles that He desired for them to know about Him and understand. How did that come? That came only because God had implanted in the life and the ability of man to have light. We read that scripture. In Him was life, John 1 and 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Not just heart, not just pulse, not just blood coursing through the veins, but a comprehension, the Logos. Being able to convey to humanity what their needs are. What your needs are. What my needs are. These Gentiles, who didn't have the law presented to them, who didn't have the law taught to them, they show the work of the law written in their hearts, in their conscience bearing witness, either excusing or accusing one another by the things that God had revealed to them. Thank God, as we said earlier, for revelation. If you and I understand anything about God, it is because of revelation. Because He has been willing to impart through light those things that you and I need to know and understand and are willing to embrace. Romans 2:16, the last verse, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Now in Psalms 19, Generally, I don't read so many scriptures, so please bear with me today. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Magnanimity? Yes. Magnanimity of God. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. This means to me that God is able to reach into every crevice in the world that He has created, this planet Earth, that sustains life, that God, who created life, who gave life, would not be God if He were to withhold the possibility of a man being saved from his sins from any human being. That possibility, any man can be saved. God has made man with the ability to understand. He gave him light. And any man, anyone that God has allowed to be born into this world, wherever they may be, in the deepest, darkest jungles and crevices of the world, of society, as you and I might think, God is able to penetrate those places and reveal Himself just as He did to the Gentiles. Because they fall into that category. They don't have the law. They haven't been given the law. But because there is one who has put light into them, they are able to comprehend the things that He wants them and needs them to understand about Him so that they can have redemption. I have wondered many times. I've lay in bed and scratched my head and thought about the places around this world, and I don't know where there may be peoples who have not heard yet of the gospel of Christ. And I've wondered about these people. If they haven't heard the gospel of Christ, can they be saved? I study this lesson out today, and I find, yes, thank God, by the power of God, by the mercies of God, by the absolute magnanimity of God, every soul has the possibility to be saved. Every soul, none excluded. Not one. Not one. Now we make choice. This kafir, who sat down on a rock and asked all these sorrowful questions, finally came to a place where I don't know the answers to these, so I buried my head in both my face in both my hands. That shows to me that there was a level of absolute frustration and inability to find the answers in the things around him, and he had to look deeper than what he could see. He had to look deeper than that, folks. If you and I are going to find peace in God, peace with God, if we're going to find fulfillment in life, we have to be willing to look deeper than just the things around us. We have to be willing to accept that there is one who is able to reveal to us what it is that we need. Luke chapter 12. Verses 47 and 48. This is a very serious. These two scriptures are very serious. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. These two verses put a very serious consequence upon you and me. Because we live in a free country, a civilized country, and we have the opportunity to know every day about God, because every one of us has at least one of these in your home. And if you don't have one in your home, I would say many who are in this audience today who have a smartphone, you very likely have an app on your phone that has a Bible, and very likely you have an app on your phone. Maybe that Bible app is able to read the Bible to you while you go down the highway or while you sit in your house. Or you are able to log on to churchofgodpreaching.com and you are able to download a message and you're able to listen to a message. To whom much is given is much required. That puts an awful, awful responsibility on us folks here in our United States of America. Those of us who sit in this audience this morning, we have an awful responsibility before God. To whom much is given is much required. Now, Acts chapter 4. Verses 11 and 12. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Serious verse, isn't it? If we will be saved, it will be through the blood of Jesus Christ, if we will be saved. What if I don't know anything about the blood of Christ? If I will be saved, it will be because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Turn to chapter 9 of the Gospel of Luke. I want to read something to you here. Luke chapter 9. I know it's a lot of moving back and forth in the Scriptures. I trust this will be a blessing when we're done. Transfiguration of Christ. And as He prayed, the fashion of His countenance was altered, and His raiment was white and glistening. Verse 29, chapter 9. And behold, there talked with Him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of His decease, which He should accomplish at Jerusalem. Now this word decease is translated decease from the Greek word exodus. Exodus. What is the book of Exodus about? The book of Exodus is about the children of Israel leaving Egypt. Egypt being a type of sin. The children of Israel leaving Egypt. That entire book of Exodus was a story that God made in the fulfilling of His covenant with Abraham to allow those children to be set free. All right? These men, Moses and Elijah, spoke with Jesus about His exodus, His decease, which He should accomplish at Jerusalem. I say here that there was much more that was said than what we have recorded. These men, I believe, recognized and realized that if they were to be saved, it would be through the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. It would be through His willingness to accomplish the fulfill, be the antitype of the types and shadows in the Old Testament concerning the Passover lamb and all that it meant to those who were making their exodus from the land of Egypt. And they spake to Moses and Elijah, spoke to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration concerning His exodus, His decease, and what it was that He was to accomplish for them. Folks, if a man is going to be saved, it will be through the merit of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and that alone. Moses and Elijah, I believe, conversed with Jesus here on this Mount of Transfiguration, not just to have a casual conversation, but I believe that they came to Him because they were two most powerful men in the Old Testament, and they came to Him to encourage Him, push on, push on, push on. Our hope, our salvation hinges upon you being willing to fulfill the promise, fulfill what God has called you to do and what you said that you would do. Push on, press on. Don't give up magnanimity. Willing to forego ease. Willing to forego those things that would be simple and easy. Willing to do those things, interest and safety, for the accomplishment of useful and noble objects, folks. That's what our Lord and Savior did for us. That's what God in His divine mind and divine plan did for you and me so that we could be saved. It's more than just a simple plan of salvation, folks. It is a complex plan of salvation, but it is simple in that it is the only one way that you and I can be saved, but it means so much. And I trust today that it means more to you than it ever has before. And I trust that today we can realize that the magnanimity of God and Christ, that what they did for us and what He was willing to do for us, and if a man will be saved, it will be because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe that Moses and Elias looked that day and said, if we will be saved, it's not going to be because of the law. The law didn't have the power to save, folks. The law was a schoolmaster. Yes, they needed to obey it. Yes, it was one that God used. Yes, it was something that God had for them to obey. But there was reaching forward to a more perfect plan through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God for that plan. Revelation, just about to close here. Chapter 13. I have two more verses. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before Christ ever was incarnate, the plan was there. Before Christ ever was crucified, the plan was there. Before He ever resurrected from the grave, the plan was there. From the foundation of the world, before God ever spoke a world and living beings into existence, He had a plan for their redemption, knowing that He was going to put a will and the ability for man to choose inside of him, and He was going to put light, something inside of him where he could understand what his needs were, and He had a plan of salvation. Now the final verse, Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 34. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You see, folks, from the very beginning, God ordained a plan. That's our hope. It was the hope of Adam. It was the hope of Noah. It was the hope of Enoch, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. It was the hope of all of them. They embraced the things that they had been taught. They embraced the things of God in their lives. And there were still some places that were somewhat empty, but they embraced the things of God in their lives. And they stood on those things because they believed it was right. And they're saved today on the merits of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Every soul in this world, their hope is in the merits of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If a man will be saved, as the Scripture says there, neither is there salvation in any other. That's true. Absolutely, that is true. There is no salvation in anything else except through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other place to look for it, folks. I can't look for it in heathen gods. I can't look for it in this world. I can't look for it in things around me that satisfy my temporal needs. If I will find salvation, it will be through the merits of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, even if I have never heard of Him. Amen. Even if I have never heard of Him. Now, I see maybe a question mark hanging over heads in the audience today. Let me ask you this question. Do you understand everything in this book? I certainly don't. What's my hope of salvation? My hope of salvation is through the merits of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Because I don't understand everything in this book. I know it's true. I know it's right. But I also know this, that I'm responsible for what I do know. What I do know, God will hold me accountable for it. And what I don't know, what I don't understand, I trust in the merits of the blood of Jesus Christ to save my soul. You pray for me. Let's pray for souls. Let's pray for each other. I want to make heaven. Amen.